Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jane Hoffman, and so far, I'm the only person on the air. It'll change soon. Black Hebrew Israelites, also called Black Hebrews, and Hebrew Israelites are groups of Black Americans who believe that they are the descendants of the ancient tribe of Israel. One of their beliefs and systems is that they are believed that in some cases they're one of the original and only privileged group of Jews, with the exception of a small number of individuals who have formally converted to Judaism. Not that many proclaim their roots in Christianity alone. They are not recognized as Jews by the larger, They are not recognized as Jews by the greater Jewish community. Many choose to identify themselves as Hebrew Israelites or Black Hebrews rather than Jews in order to indicate their claimed historical connections. And what they mean by that is they believe that they derived from one of the three sons of Noah, and then the migration spread primarily into West Africa, and that's where the connection to their roots are. They don't claim a natural African heritage. At the end of the 19th century, Frank Cherry and William Saunders Crowdy both claim that African Americans are descendants of the Hebrews in the Bible. Cherry established the Church of the Living God, the pillar ground of truth of all nations, in 1886, and this was in the United States, by the way. And Crowdy founded the Church of God and Saints of Christ in 1896. Consequently, Black Hebrew groups were founded in the U.S. during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, from Kansas to New York City, by both African Americans and West Indian immigrants. In the mid-1980s, the number of Black Hebrews in the U.S. was between 25 and 40,000. In the 1990s, the Alliance of Black Jews, which is no longer operating, were estimated that there were 200,000 African American Jews. The estimate was based on a 1990s survey conducted by the Council of Jewish Federations. The exact number of Black Hebrews within that surveyed group remains unspecified. Don is on the line. Don, I'm going to read one more paragraph. This is not a paragraph. This is my own synopsis. So I was talking about the history of the Hebrew Israelites. One of my Liberian relatives on my son's side of the family is a strong believer in this. So there are three. There's Ham, Japheth, and Shem, who were the sons of Noah's. They believe there was a migration from Jerusalem area into the West and Northern African region, and that is how their Jewish roots were connected. But there's more to it than that. What some Hebrew Israelites try to establish is that they almost have a supreme advantage or historical preference by God for them to be the chosen people. Now, other Christians who are often oppressed think that Ham was the cursed son of Noah and the black skin was cursed. And of course, that's only a theory by white supremacists. But what some Hebrew Israelites do is they morphed the belief system that their ancient roots in Judaism were exalted by God, and that they have, some Hebrew Israelites go so far to say that, like, the Jews that were persecuted in Germany were not authentic Jews. So as you can see, this can create racial tensions. So today, in Covington, Kentucky, there was a clash between about four or five adult Hebrew Israelites, and there was one pontificator, and they were putting down the Catholic youth that were at a March for Life rally. The guy also, I watched the video, the guy said that Trump is a homosexual because he kissed Rudy Giuliani directly on the lips, and that the Catholics are a fake church, don't practice the authentic teachings of Jesus. Now, that attack might come from the fact that there's been so much problems in the Catholic Church with the sexual scandals, but they also claim that homosexuals in America are part of the ultimate condemnation of the U.S. and that the U.S. will be punished eventually for these harboring these types of people, such as homosexuals, who are an abomination under God, according to this particular group in Kentucky who claim to be Hebrew Israelites. Good evening, Don. Thank you for joining the show. I think John forgot that he was the host tonight, but hopefully he'll be calling in.
Yep. Hi, Jane. Hi, everybody.
It's just you and me. There's no everybody.
Oh. Well, everybody will show up. It'll be
well, Lauren's aunt, my son's aunt, Lawida, is a Hebrew Israelite, and she converted all her children to that mindset. So it's a pretty strict religion, and they practice all the Judeo customs of, like, the Sabbath being on Saturday. They can't go out and socialize on Saturday. It's almost like the Seventh-day Adventists. They can't go to birthday parties, stuff like that. But
okay.
The main thing is that they find their roots in the sons of Noah and ultimately the original 12 tribes of Israel. And in some ways, they almost isolate themselves from the other Jewish community and kind of try to claim supremacy at some point.
Okay.
So are you familiar with this group?
I am not familiar with this group per se, no.
Okay, well, I'm going to play you a quick clip on – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I have heard of this of tribes of Israelites going into Africa, and I don't know – but I don't know why. I don't know if there was – an ostracization,
well, what happened
just like you mentioned, they were cursed, or what did
like
they
do? Yeah, like I said,
they had to leave Jerusalem for a reason.
My son's aunt, named Lawida, she's in her early 40s, they are strong believers. See, what they do is, first they claim their Israeli roots. Then they disassociate themselves from being United States citizens, which is convenient in some cases. Now, actually, my son's relatives are all immigrants here. None of them were born here. Aunts and uncles range from probably, like, he has a younger uncle who's 27, but they range until their mid-40s. But I'm just going to play this clip that happened in Covington that created the problem, and you're going to see how this adult is attacking the Catholic youth. So hold on.
Just like the joke is fun.
There are one, two,
Because he kissed Rudy Giuliani, that the American nation is condemned because we betrayed our roots. Homosexuality is an abomination. And the 25 to 30 Catholic students standing there were part of the problem. The only thing that really bothered me is these Catholic kids are the youth and they're at a March for Life rally. And this other religious group is attacking them. So the title for the show tonight is Black Israelites Forget the Central Message of the Gospel, Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. So I'm going to pull in John, Albert, and Ben. Hi, John. John.
Hello,
hi, Albert.
Jane. How are you?
Don and I have Albert and Ben are on the line. Don and I have already covered the history of the Black Israelites or Hebrew Israelites. They believe that they were from the descendants of the sons of Noah that matriculated into Western Northern Africa, and they kind of separate themselves from traditional Jews and in some cases deny the authenticity of the bloodline Jews. So in some ways, some theories are that the movement was created in the late 1800s in the southern United States, and it was a way for the oppressed black race to kind of reestablish themselves socially to the religion of Judaism because they felt they would get more respect. Now, that's just a condensed version. So you guys all called in late, and we only have 30 minutes left, so I'm going to let some of you guys do the talking. Did anyone see this clash between the Black Israelites and the Catholic youth at the March for Life rally in Kentucky?
I wouldn't call it a clash.
Well, they were just kind of standing there, the youth, but this guy was pontificating at them. Wade is on the line, too.
What I noticed is how fast this went viral and how misleading all of the media was about it. They blew it out of proportion. A kid was standing in front of a native that was beating a drum in his face, and he smiled. That's not really oppressing the Native American at all. And I'm surprised.
Yeah, I didn't see that part of the video, but go ahead.
I'm just surprised that the black guy that was calling out Trump for being a homosexual, like, nobody had a problem with him gay shaming Trump, even though it was a skit. It was a comedy sketch that he was referencing. Nobody had a problem with anything he said. Can you imagine if a white person was condemning a black president for being a homosexual? What would the media do with that?
First of all, I thought it was somebody is making a terrible clicky noisy sound in the background, and I've made experimental mutes, so whoever's doing it, stop. You're ruining the show. Right, Ben. I think if it was a white guy who was pontificating about Trump being a homo just because he kissed Giuliani, it would be a lot stranger, but You know the Native American guy beating the drum, because I didn't see that segment? Was somebody harassing the Native guy or just coming up to him and yelling at him?
The guy beating the drum was actually trying to ease everything down. He was trying to cool everything off, you know, because he was trying to get in the middle of basically of the argument, you know, because before the, you know, that famous clip they got there with the kid smiling and the guy being a Trump, there was some antagonism trying to, you know, piss off, you know, the other groups. The guy, the being the drum, was very, from what I heard, he was very calm and very, how do you say, you know, I guess, like, from what I heard, he's a good guy, from what I heard.
Okay, cool. John, I muted you for about 60 seconds. When you get to a quiet place, I'll pull you back in, so you have 60 seconds to figure it out. So the only reason I started this show with this premise, we were going to maybe continue our timeline discussion of the Age of Aquarius, and I thought last night's show was pretty cool, but I just thought I'd start it out with this other cultural clash because it was kind of headline news today. But I just want to add a brief footnote that part of the problem with different groups claiming supremacy over another, it kind of really creates a serious problem. Like, everybody knows back in the 40s and 50s, there was a group of mainstream Christians that, you know, like back in those days, they put down the Irish Catholics. The Protestants and Catholics were at each other's throats. In parts of Europe and the United States, the Italians were dissed for thinking the Pope was like some kind of supreme god over the government. Like, all these clashes have been going on for generations, but kind of interesting on a good note that a very small minority religion called the Black Israelites, there's about 200,000 in the United States, that they're getting the spotlight, and Don, who's black himself, has never heard of them. So what would you guys think about this type of cultural class? John, you're back on the air. We have Wade, John, Albert, and Ben in the house, and Don. Go ahead, somebody.
No. I mean, it just shows the news bias. Like, did they even bother to ask these boys what happened? You know, why are they not getting both sides of the story?
They didn't have to, Wade, because someone videotaped it.
Go ahead, Ben.
The news had a choice. They saw all of the uploaded live streams from all the different angles. They could have looked at all the other ones to see the whole story, but they chose one clip of one angle to push the narrative that they did. That's what makes it fake news, because they could have taken the other angle and said, well, here it is from another angle, and you can see what happens before and after. But what they did was they showed this, they pushed the media narrative all across the country that this kid was oppressing this guy for some reason. And that's what made it go viral. And I have a feeling that the next Supreme Court pick will be a Catholic, and I think that's what's driving all of this. It would just be too convenient for them to come out against Catholics right before a Catholic Supreme Court pick.
Interesting.
That's a theory.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
not proven.
People should definitely, I mean, if you haven't figured out that the news pretty, I would say, lies. I think, I mean, the way they twist the truth, I could call lying. And if, you know, if you haven't figured that out by now, like, this story should definitely feel it. You know, this is not, because, I mean, no, people said, okay, where are they saying build the wall? Where are they saying racist stuff? You know, there's complaints about how, I hear about how African Americans will get watched more in grocery stores, being suspected of that they'll be stealing things and stuff. Well, here a white kid is just standing there smiling, and, oh my gosh, racism. Like, You can't even just stand there and smile, and all of a sudden people want to beat you up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Are you off mute yet, John?
Well, what's happening, too, is that the Indian, he was just making his chant. He was just making a prayer, and they were kind of mocking him by singing with him and things like that with the MAGA hat on. But that was relatively innocuous. I don't know if he was a cleric or not, but he was really spewing forth a lot of his tenets from his religion, and that's his religion. They believe that throughout the Middle East, and that it shouldn't be very surprising to African nations. You know, anyone who's homosexual is subject to death. So this is something that's normal. The United States had adopted it. It is in the Bible. It is an abomination. So a lot of these things are just fact. They're just true. I mean, when I say fact, it's fact and faith, of course. But these things are written out. They're mapped out. That he was saying. The thing is that he was saying it in that vile, visceral way that a Farrakhan might, where you're just spewing it out with a tone that is combative, if you will. So, these, you know, Ben is right. The clip was extremely partisan. I'd have to say 150, 200 students were there, and they were all partaking in the same kind of mocking behavior. It was quite large. It may have been even more than 200, maybe 300 students. And the people who were espousing what they were espousing in the religious tones, the indigenous, they were outnumbered. Like the way that it looked on the clip, and that's where you really couldn't tell.
And don't forget, the college is going to be looking at these videos, and they said they might be, you know, suspending some kids or whatnot, depending on what they found. It's their own personal investigation.
Yeah, but they didn't. But the kids, in essence, didn't do anything. They were just mocking the people who were there. And that's not against the law.
It was noisy there. It was kind of wild. But the kid that they actually accused of doing something wrong, he did nothing. And he actually tried to motion to the people who were being loud to stop being loud. They were saying something. It sounded like they were starting to be a little bit too rowdy, maybe about to say something offensive, and he motioned to them to knock it off, and he just continued to watch the guy beat the drum in his face, which happens to be the same guy who's done this before. He's accused people of oppressing him before. He's been in the news before. It's like, this is what he does. He goes around doing things, and then if anybody has any kind of lashback at him, he gets on the news and makes a big thing about it. He's a professional activist.
Right. And that was brought
up. Watching him anyway.
Exactly. So, you know, the media might have done a disservice to the entire procession. But, in essence, both sides, at least they showed their restraint in a lot of ways. But both sides, as 45 might say, there were good people on both sides. So, you know, the media may not have portrayed that, but that's what it looked like from a trained eye like myself.
Yeah, I mean, why is this even news? You know, it's like, okay, I mean, even, you know, okay, the Black Israelite group, like, yeah, I saw people like that all the time in L.A., whatever. You know, they've got kind of out there religious views, they're outspoken. Like, none of this is a big deal. So people were debating. I heard the boys said that they were doing their school chant, and they thought the guy was coming to, like, jam with them. They're like, yeah, hey, all right, he's drumming to our chant, and they didn't even know. So the media is just like, I mean, this isn't even news. I don't even know why it's even news, and they're just trying to make
a
story out of it to push it.
That's a very good point, Wade, because
this going on.
As a journalist, I would not have necessarily okayed this if I were traffic.
There?
Report this.
Yeah.
John Yoder, you've been on the air. Why don't you say something?
Oh, I was just listening to the various opinions, and I think the issue isn't anything about what's being reported. I think the
Hello?
Can you hear me?
No, you're breaking up.
No. Okay, let me move to another area. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
The issue is about his re-election, removing Donald Trump from office, impeaching him. They covered the story because it's kids with MAGA hats in favor of the wall. So the whole thing boils down to people don't really even care about the wall. You know, Congress people don't care about it. Half of them, they were in favor of it before. Now Trump's in favor of it. They have to be against it. This is about people's values, like what the core values of what you want in society. Like me, I'm conservative, so I want to have a strong defense. I want to have the economy going. I want to have freedom of choice. I want to have people have gun rights. I want basically a productive society with jobs. People that are more liberal, they think utopia would be a better world with like an open border, a welfare state, transgender rights, pro-abortion. It's just a different mindset, and that's their prerogative in America. But the point is, when you feel that your values, like your family, are under attack, you'll compromise or you'll have to bend.
Oh.
You're cutting out again.
I don't want to bring anyone. So, but if you were to threaten my family or my life, then I might change that value, or I would defend it. I would kill someone, or I would damage them greatly, something I would never do in person. Now, in this case, in this skirmish, when I see people argue or chant or have a meeting, I've never walked up to someone and beat a drum or turn on my guitar amp and walk into their face to try and calm the situation. That's actually an aggressive act. That's stepping into the space. So when you do that in a crowd, you're looking for a confrontation. If you wanted peace, you would go quietly up to them, raise your hand, and say, I'd like to say something. You go to the lead, you try to do a gesture. When you, a drum to most people is like a war drum, right? That's what they do in the war. You beat the drum, and it's a tribal thing. You have to battle. Maybe his intention seemed to be peace, but the effect was not that. So a lot of the stuff you see, it's just anti-Trump. They want to get rid of him. And that's the agenda. It doesn't, and you can't change people's fear. If a person's a Marxist, you're not going to change that. If they grew up that whole way, I'm a Christian. You're not going to change my values just because someone gets on TV and hates on me. It's what I firmly believe in my soul. So I'll overlook Trump's indiscretions, his errors, his brazenness. Because he's giving me what I need. He's giving me the values I want beyond being president. And, you know, he's going to pick conservative judges. You know, he's not going to pick someone who is in favor of consensual sex with children or abortion or eliminating man versus male in our language. You know, so that's where the issue is, I think. I don't think this is going to be
resolved. We have another caller.
The thing is,
we have another caller.
Go for it.
Okay, is it David?
No, it's Mike. Mike,
hello.
Everybody give each other a chance to talk. We only have 15 minutes left. Hi, Mike.
Hello, everyone. How are you, my dear friends? You know, this situation, which we saw in Washington, D.C., it was crisis actor training program. I mean, the same guy that who was shot, we found him in another way, somewhere else. It was news before long time ago, and he was there. And you know, he was he smiling to him, and, you know, the drums next to his ears. He has probably had a black end anyway. So everything is after crisis training because, you know, we have no more freedom of speech in the United States. And Don, that David, stupid, said to you that you are racist is a bullshit lie.
I know.
Go ahead.
I know.
I love you. I have no problem with any of you guys. Because, you know, we are all talking to each other. You know.
Okay, Mike, give people a chance.
No, well, I just wanted to say, Bob, that, you know, for Don, I just wanted to ask, because he's threatening a whole 800,000 federal workers' lives, do you think that, and I was going to say that David would have said that you should probably state that as a deterrent or destruction of Trump. Because what you just said, John, is just exactly what he's doing to 800,000 directly, and then who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people indirectly.
Hold on.
By closing the
company. What do you mean he? What do you mean he's doing that?
Only,
that's a two-sided thing.
It's only one side.
Pelosi has nothing to do with it?
No, heck no. She's willing, as long as there is no wall, she's willing to sign anything.
Open the border, right.
She's willing to sign anything.
I mean,
they could say
because,
that,
you know, Trump said that he's going to take 2 months, 3 months, 2 years. He's not going to open
the
government.
And that's affecting people eat, how they survive. And that's the
right
thing. A wall is not affecting.
If we can trim 800,000 federal workers and call every single one of them non-essential, our government's too big. And I think our country needs to realize that. Every government job that's added takes away from revenue that somebody's actually working in the free market and paying taxes. Those taxes are being sucked up by all the government jobs.
You can't. Ben, you can do it, but you can't do it suddenly. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and a lot of them will be paid back.
They're not for a long time, not until they're so far in debt that they won't even be able to make it. It's the same argument in reverse with $15 an hour increase, minimum wage.
Right.
It's the same argument, only in the it's going to cause such damage in the short term that goes long term, that it's going to cause businesses to die. You know, it's the same thing.
Small businesses to die.
Small businesses. They will die if all of a sudden we implement 15. I'm for 15, but it's after increments over time. But you can't just throw 15 at everybody and expect small businesses to survive. Same thing with the 800,000. You can cut off probably 15 million federal governmental jobs. But the thing is that you can't do it immediately
Well, this is a problem, though, with getting a government job like this. The way our Congress just butts heads and they never get anything accomplished because they can't agree. They're both dug in. That's something you have to realize. If you're taking a job with all the benefits and it's a government job, you can be furloughed at any time. So maybe people see that risk from now on because it happened under Obama and it's happened again. And it will happen
again. Little businesses have strikes, too. It happens to any business. Any time that you have tumult, it can mess up. Any time.
Yes, my friends. Something bad is going to happen. You know why? Because air traffic controllers are working 50 hours, 60 hours shift a week, and are super overwhelmed, tired, stressed, and then they go home, they have no paycheck, they're more tired, and everything's going to fall apart. And if an airplane go ahead and crash in the middle of the air together, then they blame the Trump, and then there will be somebody has to pay a price here.
So you
know, right. Mike, keep in mind, it's the same thing doctors do. The doctors are here for killing people and not making them better. So the air traffic controllers, zero population growth is something that the right has been trying, have been successfully attaining. But it's been just on them. The opioids were a doctor's problem. But their private controllers,
evidently,
crashes are going to be the private controllers' problem.
We're a capitalism where everybody's, trying to make money. So you don't even know if the doctor's telling you the truth or he's just trying to make money. Same with your mechanic and everybody else, right? The world, it is the world of capitalism, In communism, right, you get the food is given by the ruler, and then he decides who gets it. Socialism, food gives it evenly distributed. But in capitalism, the food is given to the highest bidder. Whoever's got the most money wins. Just how it goes, and everybody suffers and dies.
So it means money talks, right. Bullshit or what?
Yeah.
But at the same time, in capitalism, you have the option to be charitable. You don't under socialism. You can't legislate charity because you see
all
actually
systems in the world are tearing apart in front of our eyes, my friends. Can't you see that? All the systems.
Yeah.
You go there was no news of the coup in Caracas.
Mike,
Venezuela, there was a coup and nobody said anything about it. Go ahead, please.
Mike,
was 2 days and the coup was canceled. Go ahead, please.
It's a natural progression, Mike. We have to make our laws and everything within the concept and the confines of the fact that all cultures decline. All cultures die. They don't die, but they decline. And that is just a fact. So what I'm talking about, is making sure that we've developed a plan where when we die, we don't die as roughly or brusquely or as suddenly as other cultures or that we can. So
well, there was a moon. There was moon eclipse. There was this event that happened just a few days ago. It may not happen right away, but within the next week, couple of weeks, 1 month, you will see that this blood moon, full moon eclipse is going to bring for humanity. It's going to bring humanity chaos and disorder and dishappiness, and we will see it around the globe as from France to USA.
Where were you
USA.
Last night when we talked about the Aquarius? Where were you last night when we were talking about Aquarius?
I was flying back there to Singapore. I couldn't do anything.
It happens every 15 years. It doesn't bring chaos every 15 years.
Yeah, we already talked about that. We talked about the age of Aquarian, yesterday.
Right. I'm going to listen to it somehow tonight, afternoon or a little bit next day. Yeah, I say that. Yeah, you did talk about the 45 minutes. But
I think
you know, it's
if
go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
If we have self-sustaining homes and communities, then when the system falls apart, it doesn't mean like this small self-sustaining community. So let's get self-sustaining. Let's get sustainability as in as small a groups as we can, so
the
that individual communities are sustainable.
That's a good point. You should develop a network before a disaster happens.
That is a good one because
that's the problem. The government doesn't want to. There's a lot of rules and regulations that don't even let you have that. I mean, there's rules that you can't even have your own windmill on your own property. A windmill. You know what I mean?
We can't collect water.
You got to have permission if you want solar panels on top of your roof. Yeah.
And we got to fight that.
You know, there's certain, even if you own the house, you own the property, you still got to have permission. If you want to dig a hole, make a pool, if you want to do certain things on your own property, you have to get land permission for that, like to do that development, construction, whatever permission. And I've seen all the time where people try to do stuff, the modifications to their own place, and all of a sudden they get a big fine, you know, by the city. It happens all the time.
Right, that's
because
why
of
I was
eminent
so upset
domain.
With Obama.
Because of eminent
Obama
domain,
expanded.
You cannot do those things. Eminent
Obama
domain is let you not to do it.
What were you saying, Ben?
Four minute warning.
What were you saying, Bill?
Even the car, the house, anything does not belong to you. Go ahead.
That's what I was saying. That's why I was so upset with Obama's policies, because he was federalizing more land than any other president ever had, and at the same time he was adding more regulations that would get homeowners and private property owners in trouble for doing whatever they wanted with their own land, especially if they had a pond or a creek on their property. There was people who lost their entire property and had fines that they could never pay for just for building a little retention pond or using the creek for a turbine. And that's the policy that I fight against. When you pay your whole life savings to buy property, you shouldn't be fined out of your property by somebody watching what you're doing on your property.
Exactly.
Now you feel,
we should, you know,
now
and
you
some...
know how black people on the 40 acres and a mule, Ben. That's very good.
Yes, absolutely. Agree. And, you know, until we make red tape should be like one of the worst things you can call someone.
Right.
Yes. And the indigenous and others, you know, the Chinese, the Japanese, they all got their property stolen because of the regulations that were in place that weren't there when they either got it. And that, you know, it's and they were changed. It's an abomination, and you know, all these properties should be reviewed, revisited, and people given their properties back. You know, it.
I think Trump knows something that the American people can't handle knowing, and I think that has something to do with the wall. The urgency, because right now Venezuela is on fire and Brazil and Colombia are building up their military on their borders right now. The problem with that is that Russia backs Venezuela. So if conflict starts between Colombia and Venezuela and Brazil, it would be a three-way conflict. Russia would have to come in and back Venezuela. That would be our problem with migrants coming north.
Israel attacked Syria, and it did like 20 Iranian air defense or ammunition were blown up. So we can see any moment the full scale war between Israel and Iran goes for the third world war, World War III. Go ahead.
Another Saddam, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, you know, kind of thing.
Israel.
It happened all over again.